The last note. Lou. I descended the steps that night feeling lighter than I'd felt in weeks, and perhaps a bit foolish. Coco had knocked on our door only moments ago to tell us there'd been no sign of Morgan during the procession, not a single sighting, not even a hint of magic on the breeze. It seemed, after everything, after suffering blood camps and cold swamps, les dents and le ventre, we'd come here for nothing. I couldn't say I was exactly disappointed she hadn't wreaked havoc and mayhem. Indeed, her inaction had quite made my night. Her notes burned holes in my boot, but I ignored them, pinching Reed's backside as we entered the bar. Though I knew he still grieved, as he should, as he would for the rest of his life. He shot me an indulgent, slightly exasperated smile before looping his arm around my neck and kissing my temple.
Insatiable as ever, mademoiselle.
That's Madame Diggory to you. His free hand slipped into his pocket.
About that, I think we should—
At last!
At a table near the stairs, Claude applauded as we arrived. The dim candlelight couldn't conceal the impatience on Lavoisin and Blaise's faces. Both sat with their respective parties as far from one another as the small room allowed. Coco, Ansel, Toulouse, and Thierry acted as a buffer between them, as did Zena and Seraphine. They donned glittering costumes, quite at odds with the others' travel clothing.
The lovebirds have flown. How wonderful. How marvelous.
Where's Beau? I interrupted, scanning the room again. He stepped out for a moment. Coco's expression turned grim. He said he needed air. I frowned, but Reed shook his head and murmured,
I'll explain later. You lied to us.
Lavoisin didn't raise her voice, despite the wrath in her eyes. It seemed she hadn't yet forgiven me for Coco's sake.
You said Morgan would attack today. I brought my people here to claim vengeance, yet all we've received,
those eyes flicked to Blaise,
is disrespect and disappointment.
I hurried to correct her. We didn't lie. We said we thought Morgan would attack today.
We too have been disrespected.
Blaise stood and Liana and Terence followed.
Though our debt remains unfulfilled, we will leave this place. Nothing more can be done.
When both parties looked to us expectantly, Reed and I shared a surreptitious glance.
What do we do now? His eyes seemed to ask. The hell if I know, mine replied.
Before either of us could bumble a plea, Coco spoke instead. Bless her.
Clearly we misinterpreted the notes, but that doesn't mean our window of opportunity is past. Manon is in the city, which means Morgan likely is too. Perhaps we shouldn't have hidden Lou and Reed away. Maybe we could use them to draw her out.
No, no.
Devereaux shook his head vehemently. Tonight his clothes were uncharacteristically simple in head-to-toe black. Even the paint on his fingernails and kohl around his eyes matched. His lips, however, he daubed with blood-red rouge.
"'Tis never a good idea to play cat and mouse with Morgan. She is never the mouse. Inherently feline, that one."
Coco's eyes narrowed. "'Then what do you suggest?'
"'I suggest—'
He pulled a white mask from his cloak and tied it around his face.
"'That you all take a breath and attend our performance tonight. Yes, even you, Josephine. Some levity in La Masquerade de Crène might do wonders for those crinkles between your brows.'
I froze, staring at him. His mask was shaped like a skull. Though Claude continued to babble about Dame Fortune, delighted when Lavoisin snapped back, Reed didn't miss the abrupt change in my manner.
What is it? He asked.
With cold fingers, I reached down into my boot, and his smile faltered.
What are you?
Without a word, I handed him the scraps of paper I'd hastily replaced after my bath this evening. He accepted them with a frown. I watched his lips shape the words to himself. Pretty porcelain, pretty doll, with hair as black as night. She cries alone within her pall, her tears so green and bright. Pretty porcelain, pretty doll, forgotten and alone. Trapped within a mirrored grave, she wears a mask of bone.
I don't understand.
Reed's eyes shot to mine, searching, as Claude finally stopped talking, as he stood to read the lines over Reed's shoulder.
We still don't know what these mean.
mask of bone, I whispered. La mascarade de crène. It can't be coincidence.
What can't be a coincidence?
He took my face in his hands. The papers fluttered to the dirty floor. These are just bits of gibberish, Lou. We came to the Archbishop's funeral. She wasn't...
Oh, dear.
Claude's eyes widened as he bent to retrieve them, finally catching sight of the ominous words.
Feline, indeed.
Reed spun to face him, but a knock sounded on Leviathan's door. Frowning, I crossed the room to pull it open, but Reed stopped me with a hand on my arm. Straightening his coat, Claude opened the door instead. A small, unfamiliar girl stood on the threshold.
For you, mademoiselle,
she said, stuffing a third scrap of paper in my palm before scurrying away. I unfolded it cautiously, dread seeping into my stomach.
Pretty porcelain, pretty doll, your pretty clock doth start. Come rescue her by midnight, or I shall eat her heart. All my love, Maman.
With shaking fingers, I showed the note to Reed. He skimmed it quickly, face paling, before hurtling after the girl. Blaze followed with a snarl.
Oh, dear,
Claude said again, taking the note from me. He shook his head, reading through it once, twice, three times.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, who is this poor soul, this porcelain doll?
I stared at him in dawning horror. Yes, we'd misinterpreted the notes. Mistaking my silence, he patted my shoulder consolingly.
Not to worry, dear. We shall solve this mystery. Now, it seems to me the greatest clues to learning her identity lie in this first note.
What's going on? Coco joined us now, Ansel following on her heels. She plucked the note from Claude, skimming the words before passing it to Liana, who in turn handed it to Terence. La Voisin stood behind them, watching with an inscrutable expression. Nicolina, as always, smiled.
Perhaps her skin could be described as porcelain, Claude mused, stroking his beard. Her features doll-like? The black hair is quite clear, but the green tears,
Terence scoffed.
No one has green tears.
It's symbolic, Ismay said, rolling her eyes. Green is a metaphor for envy.
Oh, no.
I took the note from her, rereading the lines and thinking hard, praying I was wrong. But no, it was all here. Porcelain skin, black hair, envious tears, forgotten, alone, even the goddamn Paul fit. How could we have missed it? How could we have been so stupid? But that last line, eating her heart. Feeling sick, I glanced at La Voisin and Nicolina. But Reed soon emerged beside me, red-faced and panting, and scattered my train of thought.
She's gone. She just vanished.
Of course she did, Coco muttered bitterly. Morgan wouldn't have wanted her to stick around and play.
Who was taken?
Blaze asked, voice deep and insistent.
Who is the girl?
A commotion sounded at the door, and Jean-Luc plowed inside, holding Beau by the collar. The former's eyes were wild, crazed as they found mine, found Reed's. He pushed toward us with single-minded determination.
Reed, where is she? Where?
When she heard what he'd done, it nearly killed her. She's been in seclusion for weeks, and all because of some misplaced emotion for him. Lips numb, I crumpled the note in my fist, taking a deep breath and steeling myself for the pain to come, for the emotions I'd see in Reed's uncharacteristically open expression. In those newly vulnerable eyes. I could have kicked myself. I'd encouraged him to stop hiding, to feel, and now he would. And now I didn't want to see. And my mother had known exactly how to play with us. I turned toward him anyway.
It's Silly, Reed. She's taken Silly.